Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. Hi, and welcome to Affair Recovery Radio. This is Rick, and I am here with my lovely bride, Stephanie, a bride of over 30 years now. We're not beyond 30 years yet, are we?
No.
And you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, and we're most certainly glad you've joined us this evening. In the near future, you'll actually have the rest of our staff here. Last week, I thought Wayne was going to be able to do a program, Wayne Baker, one of our cohorts, with Nicolosi. And we're really trying to set that up still because we want to be able to do a segment on when there's a homosexual affair in marriages. And it is a huge issue, and Wayne actually specializes with that. And so I'm hoping in the near future we'll actually have a program on that, maybe next week or the week after as Wayne sets that up. If you've got any other programs of interest that you'd like to or topics you'd like us to hear or address here on Affair Recovery Radio, I can't talk, Steph, please give us a call. And tonight, our topic is going to be John Edwards and his affair. Not that we want to be tabloid gossip or anything like that, but we want to be relevant. And, you know, in reality, in this culture, infidelity is a huge issue. And, in fact, I personally think, and I've said this over and over again on the radio program, our culture is absolutely crazy. We are so much more tolerant of divorce, where, you know, literally people are destroyed, where children are undone, where love relationships are totally broken. We're more tolerant of divorce than we are of infidelity or unfaithfulness. Now, again, in saying that, I'm not saying that unfaithfulness is a good thing. You know, it's not. It's horrible. At the same time, there oftentimes are reasons, and there's just sometimes people just make mistakes. And the way we respond to infidelity, I mean, the way we respond to things such as what the revelation of John Edwards, and maybe even how John Edwards has handled this. And I think that one of the things Steph and I have talked about is how in the world, you know, has this thing kind of gotten to this place? And I think it also deals with the topic we were talking about time before last when we were dealing with to tell or not to tell after we were on the morning show with Mike and Juliet. Because in culture right now, a lot of it's not to tell. So we would like people to call in tonight.
Absolutely. I was going to say before you go any further, let's make sure that our listeners have the phone number to call.
Right, because I want you to listen to Stephanie respond to all of those calls. And that telephone number is 637-9673, area code 512-637-9673. And I know that many people listen to this program. They're telling me all the time. I get, you know, cards and letters. Keep the cards and letters coming, by the way. However, a lot of times you guys don't call in. You just listen. And you know what? If you're over on the West Coast, if you're on the East Coast, certainly we want you to go ahead and call in tonight and at least weigh in, because if infidelity, if you have dealt with infidelity in your marriage, I promise you, you've got feelings about what's happened with John Edwards, what's happening to Elizabeth Edwards, how people are responding, what's happening with Ms. Hunter and how she's responding and how all of this has been done.
Also, Rick, let's make mention of our Affair Recovery Weekend, our EMS weekend that's coming up.
Right. And we usually do that at the end of the program, but we could do it at the beginning of the program.
I would like to do it at the beginning of the program.
Okay, so do you want to make some mention of it?
Well, if people have any questions, they have time to call in during the program and ask us about it. And that will be coming up in 2 weeks.
Right. That'll be the 22nd, 23rd, 24th here in Austin, Texas. And you need to hurry and call. I think we've only got about 3 spots left on that particular weekend. And so if you'd like to be a part of the EMS Weekend Emergency Marital Seminar, please give us a call at area code 512-346-9299. That's 346-9299. Or you can also go to our website at affairrecovery.com.
Yes.
And we are still also, just in terms of newsy items, desperately trying to get the Harboring Hope launch up. And it's, you know, all I can say is it's coming. And someday it'll actually arrive. We just changed some more stuff yesterday because we want it to be, we want it to be good. We don't want it to be perfect. You know, it's kind of like, when is it finally good enough? But
we want it to be great quality, though.
Exactly. So we're still doing some editing and changing on it, so we've got exactly what we want. So back to John Edwards. Please give us a call tonight, 637-9673. And if you haven't heard, then probably you haven't been listening to the news since Friday, but John Edwards, who actually was one of the Democratic potential nominees who was in the primaries, had been accused in the past by the National Enquirer and some others with having an affair. Mr. Edwards continued to deny that he had had an affair.
Really? He denied it?
Totally.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, nobody ever denies having an affair. He was probably the first.
And who was accusing him of this affair?
I think there was the National Enquirer was one of the main ones who kept publishing things about the affair.
Well, it's so dependable, I can understand.
Yeah, well, tabloids. And so he continued to deny it, and eventually what ended up occurring was he was caught at a hotel.
At 2:30 in the morning.
That's right. He'd spent like 5 hours, I guess, or 3 hours or something in the room with Ms. Hunter. His wife was not aware of that. And when he was confronted at the hotel, as a result of that, he finally began to admit that maybe there had been something. And then on Friday, he finally came clean and acknowledged the affair that had actually occurred back in 2006. Apparently, he and his wife, he had told his wife back in 2006, and they had worked through that, which, you know, as you know, we believe with all of our hearts here at the Affair Recovery Center that the people are able to work through affairs. So in that sense, just the fact that Mr. and Ms. Edwards were able to deal with that, that's a really good thing. And but apparently he had not told her about his meeting with Ms. Hunter, and then once he admitted it after having denied the allegations time and time again, of course it caused quite the scandal, and so people were really upset because he had lied to them, which is back to the point of, do you tell the truth or don't you tell the truth?
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Right. And, you know, one of the points Stephanie was making today as we were reading all of this stuff is that, you know, not telling the truth, that's some bad juju, right?
Well, I just talked about the fact that there's so much fear that goes around the truth when it's something bad like that. But honestly, the truth is what will set you free. And I think that in their situation, Mrs. Edwards had asked him not to tell. Am I right about that?
Right.
Right. And I'm sure she had some reasons that were very important to her. I know they have at least 2 children, so that probably had something to do with it. But I think that she felt like as long as she kept that secret was kept, that there was protection there. But because he's such a high-profile figure, a political figure at that, there was just no way that it was going to stay undercover. So,
and we have a caller, I believe, Francisca. So, Francisca, are you there with us?
Yes.
Hi, thank you for calling Affair Recovery Radio tonight. What are your thoughts about what happened with John and Elizabeth Edwards?
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought he was taking some information to maybe send me material, but
I can send
you material,
too. My
thoughts about that is I believe the truth will set you free.
Amen.
It's just best to be open because secrets eventually will come out when they're not right.
Yes.
And I think this is time to be exposed, you know, when you're trying to walk and talk a certain way and people are looking up to you. I believe that the Lord is saying enough is enough. It's time to expose the ones that are not right. But my heart goes out for his wife and the children
right.
and for him himself.
Right.
It's just time to be open and honest, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, Francesca, you said that you were wanting to leave your name and so forth so that you could get some information.
Yes.
Okay. Did you get that?
I had some women. I'm a counselor, an LCDC counselor, and I also have a group on the side. I didn't know your husband. I was just surprised to hear the group that I had. I'm kind of shocked. I wasn't expecting to be on the air like this.
Oh, you're doing
anyway,
so good, though.
The group
for
that
some...
I had was Smiling Through the Tears. About 2 years ago, it was for women who love ones have habits and hang up in addiction, and your husband's name had came through, and one of the ladies in our group had attended.
Oh, really?
With your husband and her and her husband, they battled through, you know, their issues. But I'm just surprised to hear that he's on the air. I got to call her and let her know.
Oh, good. Yeah, let her know. Well, you know what? Do you have a pen where you can write down our phone number?
I don't have a pen. I'm driving.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, that's
okay.
Fine. I'll tell you what we'll do. We will let George get your contact information and or Juan. We've got two producers tonight, which is super. And you ought to see Juan. He is wonderful, Francesca. But anyway, we'll get that and get back in touch with you then with any type of information you would like. And thank you so much for listening to us this evening.
I'm so excited to know that you guys are on the air. This is something I truly believe in, that it is time for families in recovery with any of this, you know, the marriage, the addictions, all of that, it's time to expose it
yes.
in the spiritual realm. So I'm
yes.
just excited to hear, because I listen to the station a lot. You know, I love this station and focus on the family and all that. I just happened to cut it on. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're on the air. I'm
well,
just excited. Yeah, do
thank you for your
God.
Thank
and,
you
and
for your
oh,
comments.
My word, you're on the air, too.
Yes, I know this. I'm smiling and driving. yes, if I can talk to the other gentleman, I can give him some information. If I have material to come out, I really want to be on board with you guys.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now, so anybody else who really just really wants to be on the air, like Francesca, anyway, you can call us at area code 512-637-9673. And didn't she do a great job? I wish we could hear the applause. I'm sure everybody in the community is clapping right now. But, you know, what are your thoughts? And, you know, I think this is maybe our time, you know, if we were to give a word of advice, you know, to Elizabeth, you know, what words would we say to Elizabeth? Because, you know, my heart goes out to that woman, and my heart goes out, you know, to John, because that, having gone through this personally, I know that it is a very, very difficult circumstance, and it would only be more mortifying, you know, when you've got the helicopters flying over your house with reporters trying to I guess, talk to you.
Well, I am encouraged that he had already told her. You know, it would have been so traumatic if this had been the way she found out. And so I'm encouraged that he had already told her, that it sounds as though they had already worked through a lot of this. I'm not sure what that whole meeting in the hotel was. You know, I'm not sure what that was all about, because supposedly she didn't know about that. But I do feel very sorry for Elizabeth, because there is no way out of the public eye when you're involved in politics. As much as she wants to protect her children, protect her family, protect her privacy, that will be very difficult, because they are politicians, and that's just next to impossible.
And you can still call in 637 the word just word 637 WORD or 637-9673.
Well, we'd like to hear your comments on it. And as Rick and I were preparing for this evening, one of the things that I thought about is that in our listener audience, I'm sure that there are some of you, men and women, who have gone through a situation of infidelity, and you did not tell your spouse, but they found out. And if there's anybody that would be willing to share how that went down, versus how you think it might have worked out had you been upfront and honest with your spouse, I'm really interested in that, because I think that would be a message to send out to people who are struggling with their infidelity and wondering what to do about it, wondering whether or not they should be honest with their mate. So I hope there's some people in our listener audience who would be willing to call in and share something along those lines to just let us know, because I think it would speak to some other people.
Well, and another thing that I believe that we ought to address is, you know, what should, since we can give advice over here, you know, what do you tell your children in this type of situation? Because, you know, obviously, kids matter. And Steph, what would you, if you were to be able to talk with John and Elizabeth?
Wow. I saw a picture online of two of their children. I think it was two daughters. I may be wrong about that. And there may be some other children that just weren't there. I'm not that familiar with his, you know, his personal life, but or his personal family. It would depend on the ages, of course, because, these kids, they're going to read things on the Internet. They're going to see things on TV. I mean, unless they're living in a cave, those kids are getting the same kind of information that you and I are getting. And, and I'm sad about that, because I think until they're at an age where they can handle the information, it can be damaging. Because I would imagine that Elizabeth felt like I did, that she wanted to preserve the integrity of her husband, because he has, you know, claimed that he loves his wife and that he wants to maintain his marriage. And so I'm sure that the two of them want to maintain their family and their family unity. So, she's going to have to, as a couple, they're going to have to sit down with those kids and have a talk with them. And I do think it needs to be done as a couple. I don't think Elizabeth should be doing it by herself, nor do I really think that John should be doing it by himself, because I think it's important to show that united front and to show the solidarity of their marriage. I think that will speak a lot to their children. And also, because they have already been working on this situation for, several months, they will have, hopefully, that much fidelity to present to the children to say, your dad has changed, and look at these months that our marriage has now been getting much better. So I think that the track record has changed, and hopefully they'll be able to use that as an example to the children. But I don't know the ages of the kids, and that is unfortunate, because the age has a lot to do with the information that you give them.
They're two girls, 8 and 10, and they have a grown boy who's graduated from Princeton.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the boy has gotten an earful of information. You know, the 8 and 10-year-old, they may not have heard so much, because, it may be that they kind of shelter them from TV just because of, all the political stuff going on. I don't know what the policy is in their house, but, they're going to hear something.
I know that one of the people that mentored Stephanie and I, Jamie Buckingham, who was an editor for Charisma, for years, Jamie also had issues with infidelity, and in one of the books that Jamie had written, he had actually talked about his infidelity, and I think they had 5 children, if I remember. And Jamie was talking to me once, and he said, one day one of my girls actually came into my study and slammed the book down, and she had read about my infidelity, and he said, honest, I thought I told all the kids, but I guess we forgot one, And she said, Daddy, how could you? And I just remember Jamie just said, with tears in his eyes, he said, honey, your daddy needs a savior too.
Right.
Your daddy needs a savior too. And I think that, if you are telling your kids in a situation like this, whether it's been exposed and gone public or whatever, if you're telling your kids, somehow I think you want to weave your faith into it,
Absolutely.
Let them know about grace, and teach your children that maybe even that we're not so significant in the mistakes we make, that we can ultimately change God's plan, that God is so much larger than what we are, And so place it under, you know, the grace of God and the love of God, and begin to show them how God works, and just begin to explain that we all need a Savior, not making an excuse, but just taking responsibility ultimately for what's happened.
You know, thinking about that with our family, Rick, we had an option. You know, a lot of people have options as to how they tell their children. The Edwards don't have any options. Their options are very limited. But I know that we frequently are asked by couples, when did you tell your children? How did you tell your children? And you and I both decided, after we really talked about it and prayed about it, that the best thing to do was to wait until the youngest child was old enough to handle the information, because we didn't feel like it was a secret. We felt like it was too big a piece of information to ask one sibling to keep from another sibling. So consequently, having three children, by the time the youngest was old enough to really handle that kind of information, it made the oldest one older. And so we had to deal with the fallout of her kind of being resentful because we hadn't told her sooner. But we explained to her that we didn't want her to have to keep that a secret from her brother and sister. And that, you know, after a while she understood that. But I do think that's something to think about, that when you have multiple children, if you only tell the ones that are old enough, then you run into them having to keep that a secret from the younger ones, and that can be difficult.
And, you know, another thing I wanted to talk about was in his statement of contrition, or just kind of his confession, I wanted to read that on the air, because there's actually some things that I think John did well in the way he addressed it. So I know that, you know, everybody's sitting there trying to judge the whole circumstance, but, you know, to us, you know, what do you tell the kids? I mean, that's relevant to a Fair Recovery Radio. How do you admit what you did? And here's what he said. In 2006, I made a serious error in judgment and conducted myself in a way that was disloyal to my family and my core beliefs. I recognized my mistakes and told my wife that I had a liaison with another woman and asked her forgiveness. Although I was honest in every painful detail with my family, I did not tell the public. When the supermarket tabloid told the version of the story, I used the fact that the story contained many falsities to deny it. But being 99% honest is no longer enough. And I am ashamed of my conduct and choices. I had only hoped that it would never come public. With my family, I took responsibility for my actions in 2006 and today. I take full responsibility publicly. But that misconduct took place for a short period in 2006. It ended then, and I am willing to take the test necessary to establish the fact that I am not the father of any baby, and I'm truly hopeful the test will be done so this fact can be definitively established. I only know the apparent father has said publicly that he is the father of the baby. I also have not been engaged in any activity of any deception that that requested, agreed to, or supported payments of any kind to the woman who and the apparent father of the baby. It is inadequate to say to the people who believed in me that I am sorry. It's inadequate to say to the people who love me that I am sorry in the course of several campaigns. I started to believe that I was special and had become increasingly egocentric and narcissistic. And if you want to beat me up, feel free. You can't beat me up any more than I already have been beating myself up. I've been stripped bare and now will work with everything I have to help my family and others who need my help. Now,
he sounds like a broken man.
Right. And I appreciate the fact in what, you know, he's saying is he's not making excuses. You know, John's sitting there saying, you know what, my mm-hmm. bad. Mm-hmm. And he also is owning the fact that, you know, it was his own sense of self-importance. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I admire that in the man.
Kind of an entitlement issue in some ways.
Right. And, you know, for many, many people, obviously, affairs end up being an entitlement issue. And I will honestly say that, you know, in the types of affairs, in the type of affair that John had, I usually see two factors that cause affairs like this.
What kind of affair would you say he has, Rick, based on the classifications that you've talked about?
In terms of classifications, John would actually probably have had a class four affair, which would be an inappropriate relationship. And And part of the reason he had this particular thing, he shared something in the relationship with this woman that he wasn't really sharing with Elizabeth. And I'm not saying he shared himself. I'm just saying there was something this woman had that wasn't happening in the relationship with Elizabeth. Probably a full third of the relationships or the affairs that we treat happen from the point of inception, when a woman becomes pregnant, till when she's 18 years of age, or 18 months, until the baby's 18 months old. So in that almost 2 year period or 2.5 year period, there's a lot of infidelity. And the reason infidelity seems to really occur during that time of pregnancy, I believe, is due to the fact that the woman is really much more focused on, she's got a child. And so the guy feels somewhat disenfranchised, disconnected. And so I think that when Elizabeth actually got cancer, and I think so much of her energy and her life was being spent just dealing with cancer, I wouldn't be surprised if that stressful time, that turning point in their marriage relationship, didn't cause a bit of a disconnection. That happens all the time with couples.
Well, you know, the other thing, Rick, I'm thinking about, we've talked about, there's a book called Not Just Friends, because...
Shirley Glass, by the way.
Right. And Miss Hunter did she was hired to do a video of him on the campaign trail, and she actually was with him for long periods of time, sharing quite intimate times on the as he was campaigning. I saw a clip on the internet that had them laughing together, and so I think, you know, he was spending a lot of time with her. And granted, there was probably most of the time there were other people around, but I'm sure there were moments when they weren't, and so there was a chemistry that probably occurred. And so I was reminded of that book because they became friends, and then they became more than friends.
And in the comments, please, I'm not saying I don't think that, I mean, I don't know anything about John Elizabeth Edwards' marriage. They made it a great marriage. A Category 4 affair can happen even in a great marriage. It's just that there's something that person had in common. And, you know, it is fairly heady stuff, I think, probably to have a someone following you around, taking videotape of you and, you know, making you feel really special. And so, I mean, obviously that would be an amazingly high-risk situation. And I think that when it's just kind of in the daily routine about how life is going to be, we fail to recognize oftentimes that we are in situations where bad stuff can happen. And so
that's why it's important to set boundaries in your marriage. And I know that that's probably very difficult when you're a politician and you're campaigning and you've got people around you all the time. How difficult. You are separated from your wife and your family for long periods of time. How do you set boundaries? But, you know, most of us common folk don't have to worry about that.
So if someone starts doing like this video thing of me and follow me around and taking pictures all the time. And
honey, that would be me.
That would be you following me around?
Taking pictures of you all the time. Absolutely.
You're not. I'm thinking about my documentary.
Oh, your documentary?
Yeah.
What documentary?
The one they're going to make.
They would do that because...
Okay. Affair Recovery Radio. You can call us tonight, 637-9673.
Area code 512.
637-9673. And here comes one of our great producers, George.
Hi, Rick. I commented the last time you all were talking about affairs. And I think I remember, I know that nobody else does remember, but I did comment that I was... I've been a Christian for decades. I'm in my 50s. Well, you know, I know much too well that it's wrong to even go there, to even think about going there. But inadvertently, I have been attracted to someone else besides my wife. And I think I said that on the last opportunity to talk on your show last month, I think it was.
You did. Mm-hmm.
And I have not been able to sleep. Now, you know what? I think contributing to my situation has been that my wife's been out of town for a couple of months. And I've realized just in the last few days, maybe that's why I'm going so crazy here. Mm-hmm. So it can happen. If it can happen to me, because trust me, I mean, I've never had this feeling in 16 years, not even close. I mean, I've been tempted by people that I don't even know, and it's not a feeling of affection. It's more of a physical thing, and I've always run. You know, I don't. I'm very proud of myself. Just my first reaction is go the other way. Don't even get close to this. Don't go to first base. You can't get to home plate if you don't go to first base. And so, but this time it's not even so much a physical thing. It's the whole package. There's everything about this lady is attractive to me. You know, the way her priorities, her, funny to say, her Christianity, her the way she lives her faith, everything about her. And so if it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. In fact, I don't even know if I could have an affair. I know I shouldn't be saying this publicly, but I'd have to probably go to a doctor and get some kind of one of those little blue pills or something. I mean, I'm old enough now to where, you know, that's part of who I am. I don't know if I could have an affair. Affair is not what I'm thinking.
Let's don't find out.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
When's your wife coming back, George?
I just got a call. She's in the vicinity. Hope she's not listening to this.
I was going to say, George, dude.
I love the realism of the show, and so to keep it real, man, I'm going to...
We're just keeping it real, George.
There's nothing, I would not make up this story. No way.
Not with your wife listening in. I know you wouldn't.
Well, you know, I think that's one of those things. It's a boundary on your marriage. I think that as wives and as husbands that we need to be aware of that and just, you know, as much as possible, be aware that when we're apart from our spouse, that temptation, that Satan will use that temptation. And so I do. I think that's a good boundary to think about when you go visit family or whatever. And for you to be aware that it's a very vulnerable time, and for your wife to be aware and to give you as much support as she can long distance.
Yeah, the Bible speaks of that, doesn't it? It says, do not be separated except for prayer and fasting. Is that what it says?
That's right, 1 Corinthians 6. So, yeah, for a time, a season of prayer. And, yeah, I think that our problem is we think, as we've said on the radio many times, that temptation is a problem. And temptation does not define us. If temptation defined us, then the person with the most temptation would be the vilest person. And who's been tempted more than anyone else in history? Well, that would be Jesus. And he was not vile. And in fact, you know, we think there's something wrong with temptation, but it was God the Father himself that put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. And that was intentional because if there's not another choice, if there's not something else we might desire other than our mate, then there would never be love and there would never be loyalty. Loyalty and love can only be defined by a willingness to suffer, to deny myself, to take up my cross, to be willing to die for the sake of another. I mean, it's choosing another over something else that would be better for, or would seemingly, not that it would be better, but seemingly would be more fun for me in the moment. Mm-hmm. So we're going to all be tempted. That is not a problem. The fact that John Edwards was tempted isn't the problem. You know, I think, and it's horrible what he did, just like it's horrible what I did. At the same time, the bigger problem to me is the lie. And you know, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, it's real interesting. I always use kind of the Message paraphrased a la Rick. But he says, bottom line, Nick, here's the deal. Men love darkness rather than light. Everyone who does evil, I'm telling you, there is no way they want to tell the truth because they're afraid that everybody's going to find out what they've done and who they really are. But everyone who lives by the truth, they come into the light so that it can be seen plainly that if anything good is coming out of them, you know, it would have to be God. And really, you know, if we get down to it, compared to God, we are nothing. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. That you know, ultimately, I have to have Christ. And I said this came from Matthew 5. I lied. This is from John chapter 3. I'm so sorry. But anyway, so just remember, in me dwells no good thing. And that is a piece of the Christian faith. We believe that. It's not about us being good. It's about the fact that Christ is good. That we struggle is no surprise, but by the power of Christ in me, I actually have the ability not to do really stupid things that blows the world up, such as John has done and I have done. And that's what I want to do. The whole goal of recovery is not to get strong and quit doing this stuff. The whole goal of the Christian life is to be weak. So that ultimately I don't assume I can handle it. And that's what I really love, George, about what you had said, is just simply the fact that you're willing to sit there and say, you know what, this is a deal. And the only reason this would ever really happen to you is if you sat there and said, well, this would never happen. And because you're thinking it would never happen, you go ahead and start spending time because you know you won't do anything. And you know, if you assume you can handle it, then you'll go down, because the bottom line is we are only going to be as weak as our strongest point. We're only going to be as weak as where we think we can handle it.
Well, and then it becomes a pride issue too. So, and pride goeth before a fall.
What do you mean pride?
Well, taking pride in the fact that, oh, I can be with this person and not do anything wrong, and exposing yourself, you know, to continuing to sort of flaunt in the face of the temptation because you're prideful in that, look, I've been a Christian for all these many years. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that's definitely tempting God right mm-hmm. there, as well as yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, the other part of this story is this friend of mine, who is a Christian that I admire greatly. Just in the last week, I actually shared some of my feelings about her to her, and because she's a Christian, she said, "How's your marriage going?" I said, "Well, I haven't seen my wife in a couple of months, and." But she's a good woman. I'm not going to badmouth my wife. She's a good person. And that was my answer. And she said, "Well, I'll be praying for your marriage."
Mm-hmm.
Now, good. That's a terrible response from somebody you're contemplating having a relationship with. When they shut it down like that, and that's the power of our faith. That's the beauty of our faith, because I thanked her a few days later after I got over the initial shock of, man, this is all one-sided. This is a fantasy in my own brain here. I thought she kind of liked me because we had a very nice little business relationship, and I was thinking, she kind of digs me, and boy, do I dig her. And it turned out to be, it was all in my mind. And mm-hmm. she shut it down real quick, as a proper Christian should, and I told her that just the other day. I said, I want to thank you for responding as a Christian should. And that was exactly what I needed to hear to put things back into perspective. And I appreciated that, and I told mm-hmm. her that. And that's the beauty of our faith, that it does, the instruction of the Bible, the owner's manual, helps us to live life. And it's I'm so grateful for that, because even though I was disregarding the owner's manual, other Christians around me, in this particular case, one other Christian that I was dealing with, did obey the owner's manual and got it right. And the right outcome has occurred.
Good.
Right. And, it's interesting, as I always say, you can be 100 miles down the road, but you're still only 10 feet away from the ditch. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. We're never far off from that ditch. And, the other thing is, there is a part of human nature, and I think it's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 7, how we do the things we don't want to do. That really wants to get as close to the fire as possible, but we don't want to get burned,
That's a good point. And I wish John Edwards had been tempted by another Christian, by a Christian. I'm not sure that he is, but, had this person been a Christian, it would have been it just never would have happened.
Yeah.
Our faith has a good influence on our culture, those of us, when we stray away from our faith, that's when we get in trouble.
Yeah. At the same time, I look at things like this, and my prayers are always, Lord, bring into this person's life whatever circumstances they need to bring them to the recognition or the realization that they can't do it.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. I thought, I wonder what effect this has had on his faith. I would pray that it maybe has been life-changing. Again, I'm like Rick, I don't know anything about whether or not they are Christians, but just to think that perhaps this could show them the importance of faith, that would be wonderful.
Right, and which brings us, you know, what in the world, here at Affair Recovery Radio, we can talk about things like this. And again, people aren't calling in. I know you're listening because you're going to tell me I'm going to get probably 20 comments after the program during the week. So, I listened in, you know. Why didn't you call? Anyway, so you can call at 637, some of you listening in out on the West Coast. I know I've got some East Coast people listening. 637-9673. But what in the world, and I'm sorry Leslie's not here, would you say to Elizabeth? And because what does Elizabeth need at this point? What do you think, Stephanie? What in the world would you say to Elizabeth?
Well, I remember what was said to me. And just someone that comes alongside, you know, I had a friend that came alongside me, and she held me. She listened to me. She dried my tears. She prayed with me, and she just, you know, she was just there for me, and she encouraged me. She encouraged me in the good things that were evident in you, the fact that you had told me the story, the fact that you were willing to do whatever it took to work on our marriage. And so she would remind me of those things. When my pain was great and I could not remember those things, she would remind me of those things. So I hope there's someone in Elizabeth's life who's able to do that for her, who's able to remind her that John has confessed, he has asked her forgiveness, he has broken off the affair, he's a good father, he has been a good husband. He has the capability to be all those things again. So I'm hoping that she has friends that come alongside her like that.
Okay. So we've got Kathy in Oregon. Kathy, I knew you were listening down the West Coast. But
you did.
I did.
Well, you've been begging me to call, I could tell.
I was, Kathy. What in the world would you say to John? What would you say to Elizabeth?
Well, you know what? Back in 1998, I was diagnosed with cancer myself. And you know, Rick, my husband's a sex addict. So I was in a very, very lonely... I'm going to talk about me tonight, not my husband, but me, because you guys are talking about temptation. And, well, anyway, I was diagnosed with cancer back in 98. And I was in a very lonely relationship. My marriage was really lonely and really empty. And I would go to take chemotherapy, and after chemo, I'd have to go up and work. And I met a guy that I was working with, and he also had an illness. And we started talking to each other about our illnesses. And before I knew it, we were really close. Not so much as, we didn't talk about his wife and his family, or I didn't talk about my husband and stuff, but we connected on that level of both of us having a life-threatening illness.
Right.
And it was really easy, I guess, for me to have that compassion that I so needed from my husband and wasn't getting, but was getting it from him. And it probably would have been really easy for me at that time to have fallen victim of a temptation. But the reason I didn't was because it wasn't about my marriage. It was because I knew I had to live with myself. And when I got up in the morning and I looked in the mirror, I knew I wouldn't be able to face me. So I had to pull back away from that. And then it happened again after discovery. You know, those revenge affairs we talked about?
Right.
Yeah, rebound affairs.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I could have easily done it again because I applied for a job and I was offered this job. And when I went into the interview, there was an immediate attraction to what would have been my supervisor. And I could tell that he was as well attracted. And we communicated a few times by phone about the job. And he was basically begging me to take it. And I wanted the job. I did. But I had a feeling that if I did, I could very easily do one of those rebound affairs. And so I turned the job down.
Good for you, Kathy.
for about 2 or 3 weeks after that, he was calling and trying to wiggle his way in any way he could to get me to take that job, and I had to keep putting my foot down. One thing that did amaze me about that, though, is when I did tell my husband about that and the reason I didn't take the job, he actually told me I should have taken it.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we won't go into that.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised about that, but he later said he was wrong for saying that, but...
Well, you know, don't you hope that Elizabeth has someone that is giving her some wise counsel who says, don't let yourself... You know, I was fortunate, Kathy, that after Rick told me about his affair, the husband of his affair partner called me to go to have coffee with him. And I just didn't think much about it, and I went. You know, of course, it was a very painful meeting for us, but he actually... wanted to even get together a second time. But before I agreed to do that, there was a pastor who was giving us some counsel. And one of the things he told me was that there could easily be a temptation for you and the other partner to, you know, become emotionally involved. And he said, I would just, you know, be very, very careful about that. And so I, you know, I never got together with him again. So I'm hoping that there's someone there who, I'm hoping there's someone that is giving her some counsel with some wisdom about that too.
You know, as hard as it is to be the hurt spouse, having someone do that to you, I look at her, Hillary Clinton. I mean, there's a few of them out there, right? That went there public, and I think about the pain. I mean, the pain alone of the infidelity hurts.
Yeah.
But I can't even begin to imagine what the pain would be like if the whole country knew your face, knew your family, and knew your family's heartache.
Yeah, the shame.
That's what this is. It's actually just a family heartache.
Mm-hmm.
This is the deterioration of a family.
Yeah, and they're on, you know, they're on display for the world to see. You and I didn't have to go through that. Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that... I mean, just the few friends that have known about my situation, I've lost, you know, we've lost friendships over this, you know, and stuff. And people judge so harshly, I can't even begin to imagine what they, what they're going through. I can't.
Yeah,
it breaks my heart.
Well, we've read some of them on, we've read some of them online, and it's, it's been pretty sad.
You know, you guys are talking about telling your children... earlier too, and I have three grown children, and when my husband's 9-year affair came out, I went straight to my kids. They were all, two of them were in their 30s, one was in early 20s. They were all, two of them are married, have three children of their own.
Right.
I went to my kids and I told them, because it was Thanksgiving, and so my kids were actually here when it kind of broke loose. But That is the only thing, really, I have told my children about this. If they had known pretty much everything that my husband's done, it would probably be really bad. But the one thing I did tell my kids is you have to remember, you know, we all make mistakes in life. And if we are sometimes not given a second chance, we're all going to fail.
Yeah.
Because we all do, we all screw up. And yes, this is a major screw up, but you have to love God, and you have to love yourself, and then you have to look at the other person and realize that they're a human being, and you have to love them through it. And you have to love them through it, whether you stay with them or not. That's a different choice, but you still have to love them through it.
Well, I'm glad that God looks at us, and our sin doesn't define us in His eyes. You know, but that's easy to say when you have a husband who has confessed, ask your forgiveness, and changed his lifestyle. And I think about women whose husbands, you know, they've been caught over and over and over again. And it's, you know, that's...
Well, you know, I have a group that I kind of started here in Oregon, and I have a few members, and I have some women, and I have a few men, even.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a man right now that's 52 years old, and is practically suicidal, and he found out about his wife's affair with her best friend's husband 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she absolutely, his wife absolutely refuses to take any responsibility for that. Because nobody got hurt during that affair. If nobody knew about it, then nobody got hurt.
Oh, well, that goes back to, you know, what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think you were listening then. Yeah. Do you tell... When we were on that television program, and that particular author doesn't advocate telling because she says, you know, it just hurts. It just puts people through hell. That's what she said.
No, actually, you need to know.
Yeah.
Because before I knew, before I was already living in hell.
Yeah, you think you're losing your mind.
Yeah. And when I got the information, I was finally set free.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, I think you do because it takes, when your husband or your wife is having an affair, it takes so much away from you.
Yes.
That you already know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
No matter how much you try. And so then when it finally is released, then you have a choice to stay or go, a choice to love or not, a choice to forgive or not, but your choices are back.
Well, I'm hoping, yes, Kathy, that there's other people, you know, some of our listeners that are listening, you know, to what you're saying and that they're looking for application in their life. Thank you so much for calling us.
No problem. You guys have a good night.
You too.
You too, Kathy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And, you know, it's interesting. One of the things we do at the Affair Recovery Center, if this is your first time to listen, is we actually try to keep the tabloids away from you. We're actually quite anonymous, and that's really probably one of the great things we bring. We bring hope because we have people who work through this thing, and we bring hope to lots of different things. We give hope, you know, for you to be able to get over the pain, for you to get your life back, for you to have a life you love, for you to have a marriage you really, really like, hope to get rid of just being desperate, hope for a completely new life. But at the same time, we do that where you don't have to have the tabloids. So if what you're looking for is anonymity, you need to come to affairrecovery.com and join our community there, be a part of that. And like I said, the Harboring Hope group will be coming up in the very near future. As soon as we get the thing edited, we've still got some more chapters to go. But the final thing is we have that EMS weekend. And so if you're currently in crisis, please do not hesitate to come join us. It's going to be the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And if you really want to treat, Stephanie does the cooking for the EMS weekends. And I mean, she is a killer good cook.
You can find out more information on our website or call us at 512-346-9299.
And or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com. That's affairrecovery.com. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?"